Hi, it's Martha Stewart. You know, I spend a lot of time thinking about dirt. At 3 a.m., at all hours of the day, really. What people don't know is that not all dirt is the same. You need dirt with the right kind of nutrients. New Miracle-Gro organic raised bed and garden soil is so dense, so full of nutrient-rich, high-quality ingredients. Miracle-Gro is simply the best.
This episode brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Police Off the Cuff, Real Crime Stories. I'm your host, retired NYPD Sergeant Bill Cannon, a 27-year veteran of the NYPD. First of all, everyone, happy Memorial Day weekend. I guess you could say that. And remember, Memorial Day weekend is to remember all of the armed forces, the service people that gave their life in the defense of this country. So we just remember that. I give a shout out to that. And as much as we want to enjoy Memorial Day weekend, tomorrow is the actual day. We just want to, between cheeseburgers, Coronas, glasses of Cabernet, and stuffing yourself, let's remember the people that fought to make this country what it is. And that's all I'll say. Anyway, this case of the Idaho Five, excuse me. Now we're not talking Idaho, we're talking about the Texas County, the Oklahoma Five. And up on the screen there is you see Tiffany Adams. And if you want to call her the mastermind, I don't know if that's the correct verbiage, but the other four people you see in there, which makes them the Oklahoma Five in the double murder of the Kansas moms. One of the questions I always had with this case is why? Why were these other four people, why would they give up their lives to assist Grandma Tiffany Adams with the murder of her grandchildren's mom? I can't say it's her daughter-in-law because she was never married to her son. However, why would these other people that you see on the screen, Tad Cullum, right, Cora Twombly, and Cole Twombly, and Paul Grice, who you see there, why would they throw their lives away to assist in the murder of two women? One of them who was totally innocent, as we see here, right? Veronica Butler, who is the mother of the children in question in the custody dispute. And then we see Jillian Kelly, who was just there doing a job, an escort, and she gets murdered for it. She gets murdered. So having said all of this, there has to be some answers to this. Something that perhaps I'm not seeing or getting firsthand because I'm not boots on the ground. I'm not in Goyen, Oklahoma, and seeing what's going on, get a feel for the neighborhood, get a feel for the law enforcement, get a feel for what's going on. However, we have a special guest today, Rock Chalk, who is a double decade or more investigator for the state. And with her own money, she's boots on the ground, and she went first to this area to search for the Kansas moms. And this case has taken some twists and turns. And we all know, of course, it didn't look good from the very beginning. And everyone was saying, oh, they're dead. They'll never find their bodies, you know. And when we look at these, let's say here's a better picture, these five desperados here up on the screen. Tiffany Adams, her boyfriend Tad, Cora Twombly, her husband Cole, and Paul Grace. They've all been charged, as we know, with kidnapping, first-degree murder of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. Butler and Kelly vanished en route to pick up Butler's children for a supervised visit. Adams is the paternal grandmother of Butler's children. While police have not shared much about the ongoing investigation with the public, probable cause affidavits in support of the criminal charges against the suspects obtained by the media revealed a bitter custody battle between Butler and Adams involving death threats and plans for violence. So that is the background of this. Now, we'll get into more as to the why. Why did this happen? And why were all of these people involved in it? So that's what we're going to talk about today. So hold on to your seats. Hold on to your hats, your wigs, your toupees, even your rescue dog, because you're about to enter true crime from a police perspective. You're about to enter the off-the-cuff zone, the police off-the-cuff zone. There has to be some common sense.
Yes, sir. They have the car stopped in 10th and Grant.
We still don't know who pulled the trigger.
Joining me today is state investigator, boots on the ground. She's brave as hell because this area of Goyton, Oklahoma isn't the most friendly place. They don't privy outsiders coming in and asking questions. So welcome to the show, Rock Chalk. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thanks, Bill. And thank you for your service.
Well, thank you so much. You know, I it's funny. I've been out 13 years and I did 27 and I've done so many different things since I retired that I would have never had a chance to do if I would have stayed on the job longer. I like teach college and do a little acting, do some stand-up comedy, and of course now have this show, Police Off the Cuff, which is my baby right now. But let's talk about you, Rock Chalk. I think what you've done on the ground here and boots on the ground, you've done some amazing work and not without danger to yourself. You want to speak about that a little bit?
Yeah. I mean, when I first got there, like you said, I was going there to search for two women that was missing. When I got there, I found out there nobody was searching, actually. I was the search crew. I brought two friends with horses. We was the search crew. The first thing I encountered, I was followed within the first 2 days of being there. And that was pretty rough, but I don't back down. What I did is I followed them back. The person that was following me, I followed them back because I'm not scared. I'm good with God. And listen, if something happens to me while I'm doing something that's deep in my heart, nobody's going to run me away. I will tell you that. With that said, also, I've had a gun pulled on me.
You know, Rock Chalk, I'm going to play a little bit of that, at least a little argument that you've had with Tad Cullum's mother, I think it was, right?
Yeah, and I was just there trying to do the timeline. There was things that was done. I didn't go there when Tad was not arrested because I heard it was scary. I knew there was a cult. And this day, I'd went from I was trying to do the timelines and the things. If you probably understand what that is. But from there to the L Road. And I'd already did it from Granny's house because I refused to call her Tiffany. She didn't like me calling her Granny, so I'm going to continue to call her Granny. But I did it from Granny's to L Road. I did it from Beasley's to L Road. And I happened to be in Boise City interviewing some people that day and was going to do it from Tad's to L Road. And I was on the county road and there were some dogs running out, and I do dog rescues. There's a lot I do. And I tried to pet a dog, got in the car. This lady come from nowhere. I'm being nice to her. I will say, I say the F-bomb. I'm sorry. It was in the moment. But I got out of my car because just the look in her eyes, I wanted to take a picture of her tag. And she grabbed my arm. She pulled her gun on me. And I said, you're going to pull a gun on me live? And then she tried to drag me in her car. There was a struggle. There was such a struggle with my phone that my iPhone called 911 and nobody showed up. Nobody showed up.
That's scary. Let me put the video on where you have this interaction with Tad Cullum's, was it his mother?
Yes, it was his mother. Lori Sue is her name.
Excuse me, who are you? None of your business. And get the fuck out.
Sorry.
That's all right.
Show me. This is the main road. As a matter of fact, let me get your tag number. Red River Family Encampment. You don't scare me, lady. Okay. Call the cops. They're your friends, right? Are you a misfit?
No.
Let me get out of the car.
You are.
I'm a misfit because I want to get to the bottom of this.
I don't think the police and the lawyers can do that.
Do you think you are the God's misfits that's got to track me down? Why don't you go on your way, your own way? Because you have a problem. Make sure you got together. Like, get your hands off me, lady. Oh, she's got a gun pointing at me.
Yes, she does.
You better get your hands off.
Wow.
And she admits. She admits. I said, you got a gun pointed at me, and she said she does.
So she admits it. She admits she's pointing
at me. She had the barrel right on me, and she was struggling with me to get my phone. Like I said, there was such a struggle that an iPhone, when you have a struggle with your phone, it immediately calls 911.
Wow.
And still no help for me.
But you said no one showed up. No one from... Let's get into that, because I think what everyone's suspecting is that this seems like an incestuous community. And I don't mean in a strict sense of the word. I mean that everyone knows each other. And people are related to people in positions of authority. For example, the police. So the police may be more loyal to these five suspects than they are to these two women that were murdered by them. So when we see that up on the screen, everyone's there except for Paul Grace. So we have Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. The locals have no loyalty to them. They have loyalty to these four people. And in fact, I think you could tell us, Rock Chalk, that Tiffany Adams' grandma here was an extremely powerful person in that community. Is that not correct?
That's absolutely correct. And I do want to add to the video that you just showed. What y'all didn't see is they trapped me in. There was a van parked behind me as she pulled up beside me. Like, I didn't even realize it till I got out of the vehicle. Listen, when I say there's a cult there, I've said it from the second day. There's issues down there. Still is. Go on. I'm sorry.
No, I what I want to hear also is, you know, very few of us, we've had the national media mention God's misfits, and they found someone who was like the leader of that group, and he said he had no idea about these people, but yet it's a real thing. And it's a real, as you described it off the air, it's cult-ish, or it is a cult. You want to elaborate on that a bit?
Yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, when I was out, you know, digging and searching for the women, I was in and out of wells. I was in and out. I was just looking everywhere. Well, I'd heard about, listen, I don't believe in, you know, gosh, I can't even think of what they are. But the people that, you know, say things that happen, they read tarot cards. Well, you know,
a medium.
There's another name for them too. But anyway, I was even willing to go do that. And one of the ladies that a lot of the crew, even your crew probably watches, can't remember her name, but she had said a school, water. And so there was a school called Plainview, and somebody had directed me that way. And I was almost there, and I got a message in my live from Frank Twombly that said he could shoot me from a mile and a half away. And everybody was like, Rock, turn around, do not go there. And one car had got pulled over and chased down the street because they were in the area. So that day I did turn around and did not go to that area. I realized then it was a bad idea. They definitely have a cult. But I might get shot that day, and I'm not purposely going to walk into the line of fire.
Now, is Frank Twombly the cousin of Cole Twombly, who's going to, he's running for sheriff?
No, this is, I believe, the brother or a son. I believe it's the brother. But yeah, his exact words was, we wait for people like you. I can shoot you from a mile and a half away. While I was headed there, I was literally down on the road headed there, live.
So tell us a little more about God's Misfits. What do you know more about God's Misfits than the average person that's been following this case? What did you find out?
Well, I mean, that's just the name they use. I don't believe they're connected with the original guy that made the God's Misfits. They're sovereign citizens, most of them. As you know, Granny, you know, she was a GOP delegate. She was on the board of a lot of things. I mean, for sovereign citizens, if you look up on the FBI list, they're considered terrorists in our country. They're considered terrorists. They don't believe in the government. They don't believe in anything. But here they are in court, and they want court-appointed attorneys that our government's going to provide them.
According to someone in the chat, KK405, Frank Twombly is the son of Cole. And apparently in the past, there's been some friction between Cole and Frank Twombly. But you know, loyalty is in blood. So,
You know, you bring that up and I don't want to cut you off, but you know, Cole had a son named Vern that died in 2020 in a field. And they said he died from carbon monoxide, and his dog died too. I will say this, and this is my own opinion. I realize this is YouTube. It's for entertainment purposes. This is my opinion. They need to relook at that case. He was a young kid. How do you die with carbon monoxide in the middle of a field? I don't know. And most people don't kill their dog with them. It just don't happen that way. I'm sorry.
Right. I want to play a little bit of this from KFOR in Oklahoma. This is sort of the update on this case. And the big update, of course, was the information that was released in a search warrant affidavit where they describe it as a ice chest type thing that the two victims were buried in. Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. And in that ice chest was a lot of property that apparently belonged to the perpetrators. So these people are not very smart, you know, thinking that they would never get caught. Let's bury some of the evidence with the bodies. They'll never find this. And let me play this, because this will explain a lot to folks that are watching.
For tonight, a Texas County District Judge is refusing to seal new details into the gruesome murders of two Kansas women.
The bodies of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly were found last month, five people charged in connection to their deaths. News 4's John Hayes joins us now in studio with the latest. John.
Kevin and Jolene, the new details come from search warrants filed last week. Before we get to what they are, we do want to warn folks at home, some of them are disturbing. Search warrants filed May 15th shed light on what could have led up to the kidnapping and murders of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. The two women last seen Easter weekend headed from Kansas to Oklahoma to visit Butler's children. Five suspects, including the grandmother of Butler's kids, Tiffany Adams, are facing charges for their deaths.
This case did not end the way we had hoped.
In one warrant, state investigators say Butler and Kelly's bodies were found inside of a chest freezer during a two-day excavation of a burial site nearly 9 miles away from Butler's abandoned car. The cause of death was not detailed.
How can you hate somebody so much that you want to kill them? How can you hate the mother of your grandchildren so much that you want to end her life?
Warrants also detail suspicious items seized as evidence at the burial site, like duct tape, a sheath, a black knife, ball caps, and cloth gloves with possible blood on all of them.
So, I'll take it off the screen for a second. Rock Chalk, are you down with it? That belongs to the perpetrators, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
I mean, when you think about, you know, they believed that they were going to get away with this. So the knife, which we don't know, we still don't know to this day what the cause of death is. We know the manner is homicide, murder. We know that that's been told because they've all been charged with murder in the first degree. However, we don't know the cause.
Well, and
we're getting certain hints, like there's a knife recovered, a K-bar knife. It very well could be a stabbing, could be blunt trauma, could be a combination of all of that. Go ahead, Rock Salt. Rock Chalk.
My friend calls me Rock Salt. She always calls me Rock Salt as a joke, but you're good. So anyway, Rock Chalk is from KU, University of at Kansas. I'm a KU alumni. Anyway, to go on, so there is more information out there, and people did talk, and the opinion and the rumor has it that there was over 30 stab wounds to Veronica. And I think that will be released. And that paperwork you just read was originally filed on April 26th. Okay. I do believe that the DA thought it would be sealed. And when they released that on May 15th, you realize the family didn't know. They found out. I found out at 6 o'clock in the morning watching Oklahomian that stuff was released. And I did a live just for the family because they had no idea. And I found that really tremendous and heartbreaking that the DA did not let the family know any of this information that got released before it got released. So they got to see it at the same time you did. And I find that horribly sad.
You know, that would make a lot of sense if Veronica had that amount of stab wounds, because being killed with a knife, of course, is up close and personal. And the anger of 30-something, it's overkill, 30-something stab wounds. And the poor woman, Jillian Kelly, who was really just along, she was doing her job and wound up, you know, being included in this double murder. Just horrific.
Right. And being boots on the ground, you hear a lot of things. And listen, people talk. These aren't your smartest criminals. Okay. I will tell you that. They did talk. When you got more than one person involved, people talk. And the other opinion that I have that seems to be pretty likely is that Jillian was hit with maybe a hatchet in the back of the head. Hers was one, is what I'm understanding. Now, I haven't seen the medical examiner's report. None of that. This is stuff that is going around that I find to be true. Like, I really think it's going to come out that way.
Well, you know, on the scene, there was a blunt object recovered, a hammer, and also her glasses in the ground. So they could have, you know, rendered them unconscious or whatever on the scene of, you know, where they forced them off the road and then completed the job in the field where they were ultimately buried in that ice chest. And in any event, all of those things are horrific. But if we go back to this on the scene here, they recovered duct tape, a sheathed black knife with possible blood, ball caps, and cloth gloves. This belongs to the perpetrators, no doubt. And when you talk about linkage in a crime scene, if that blood belongs to the victims, which of probably 100% it does, and they do DNA tests on all of these other items, you know, it nails their coffin shut. I think they have a great case against them as it is, but this evidence is like, it's incredible evidence because they were so stupid. They thought that they were smart doing, oh, let's bury them 15 feet below the ground. And then Paul Grice, another rocket scientist, he is out asking friends, how long does DNA evidence last below the ground? Obviously, this guy's never watched Criminal Minds or Police Officers, for that matter, because he would know that basically forever, dude. Are you kidding me?
I do want to add something to that. In that same paperwork, because I have it right here, two pairs of Wrangler blue jeans was in there, and two sweatshirts was in there covered in blood. So there was even more stuff in there, and the gun. There was a gun in there.
Now, was the gun, did that gun belong to Jillian Kelly? Because they said she always packed, and she had a clip or a magazine in her purse, but no gun. So do we know if that potentially was her gun and she was disarmed on the scene?
I think it's potentially her gun, but we won't know that until court comes around. But I would say potentially it's her gun.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, just the whole way that these two were ambushed and the premeditation and the planning. This was almost like a military operation, except by five idiots. And the other thing that really gets me crazy is that they had planned to try to throw an anvil through their windshield. Like, it sounds, you know, everyone says, oh, what is this, the Roadrunner cartoon? Like, is that really a thing? Like, they're going to try to throw an anvil through the windshield of their car?
Right. And, that, you know, I do want to say something about that. I have become good friends with Debbie, and she is Wrangler's grandma from the dad's side. And Wrangler had said that to her, and she did report that to Veronica. So when that happened back in February, now I'm not going to talk a lot about Wrangler because I think he's getting the help that he needs. The 6 months of rehab is going to be the best thing that ever happened for him. Hopefully he comes out. Hopefully he's not involved with this, which I don't think he is. And he gets his kids and they have a life. But Debbie did report that to Veronica. She reported that to her attorney. And that's my understanding and my opinion. But they even stalked her, Veronica, and she had filed a couple PFAs, but something happened with the PFAs that, like, one of them, she wasn't able to make it to court and continued it. And for some reason, the PFAs was never put in place. But as you know, that's a piece of paper. And to be honest, with this group of people, I don't think a PFA would have stopped him, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, Kelly Forbes from the chat, she writes, do you two believe this was the original plan of death? As Cora allegedly said, the original plan didn't go right. Well, one of the original plans that they had gone out at another month, a couple months before this, and they tried to get Veronica to get out of a house, and she wouldn't get out of a house. I think she knew something was amiss. And they actually, a search on Granny's computer, there was a search that said how to get people out of their house. Like, you can't make this shit up, right? How to get people out of their house. So, yes.
Throw bricks through their window. They're going to come out.
Throw an anvil through their windows. Exactly. You know, like, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
So all the things, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but all the things that now they have as evidence. And folks, don't forget, this is a death penalty case. And they got a very, very strong case. Jordan Davies from the chat. I wonder if many items of evidence has been found away from where the bodies were found. They seem to leave many items right where the bodies were left in the freezer. The other thing is, Jordan, the biggest piece of evidence was the car. If they really wanted to get away with this, why didn't they get rid of Veronica's car? Except instead they left it there. Yeah,
I think that's where it went wrong. I think they thought they was going to load the car. Something happened because supposedly that hole was big enough to fit that car. A 15-foot by 18-foot hole. That's pretty big.
You know something? It's you know, you don't know what goes on in the minds of criminals. And I frequently say, look, we wouldn't catch these guys if they were smart. That's why we catch so many people, because criminals are dumb, you know? Even when they plan things, well, look, law enforcement is smart, but criminals are not smart. So add that little ratio there, that law enforcement's smart and criminals are dumber than a stump. Look at the things they do. Look at, you know, and Paul Greitz was arrested, I believe, was it the 27th when everyone was arrested? And he was on the affidavit and they let him go. And I only could surmise that they didn't have enough against him at that.
Right. The judge would not sign the arrest warrant for him, even though he had a cut on his finger. And that's the other thing. The smart one that went and asked somebody, you know, how to get out of Mexico, does DNA last? You realize he was in an Easter pageant after unaliving these two women? He literally was in an Easter pageant. What kind of sicko can do that?
But, you know, Rock Chalk, the other thing is, and then people that aren't in this law enforcement business, they wonder how people that virtually have no criminal histories can just graduate to doing a double murder with, and apparently with a knife. How does that happen? How do you go from being an allegedly good citizen to stabbing someone to death 32 something times. Nighthawk, I just want to see this. Thank you for the 1999 super sticker. This is awesome. Great to be here with Police Off the Cuff and Rock Chalk. Thank you both for keeping this moving. Thank you so much. That's very much appreciated. And Rock Chalk, thank you for donating those 10 Police Off the Cuff YouTube channel memberships. I'll see if I can find it. It's way
I wanted
here.
To get you over your 70,000.
Yeah. Guys, I've been working at this podcast pretty hard. And here we go. Rock Chalk, two gifted 10 Police Off the Cuff memberships. Rock Chalk, thank you so much. Very, very much appreciated. I see all these new names, and I know that they're in your chat, and they're watching your show. And I think we all from the true crime community really appreciate what you're doing. And it is dangerous. You know, you're on your boots on the ground. People there could make you disappear, believe it or not. You know, it's not like you have a team of cops, a team of investigators with you. You're by yourself. And that's a little bit dangerous, and we're concerned for your safety.
Yeah, I agree, but I'll be honest with you. Even when she pointed that barrel of her gun to me, I was not scared. Now, Bill, let me remind you, both Kansas and Oklahoma is an open carry state. And some of us also have a concealed and carry. So I'll just tell you right now, I'm the type of person, I had family in law enforcement. I was a state investigator. If I pull my gun on somebody, they're getting shot. That's just me. So I wasn't scared. Right. You could tell in my voice in the video, you know, if she shot me, shot me. I'm great. I'm great with the Lord. I'm in a good place, and I'm in my heart, Bill. I'm doing what I want to do. Now, is it unsafe? Yeah, it's unsafe. But I don't think this is the first time they've did it. Locals are calling me. My phone's going nuts all the time. And your people in your chat, your new people from my channel, they are mostly locals from that area. And you'll learn a lot from this, from them. But you keeping it up front and center, and I know you're a long ways away, and your heart is in the right place. That's why I'm here. I don't just go get on every panel, and I don't just donate. Like, I really care what you're doing, and I need more help. I might be boots on the ground, but if I disappear, I need you to continue this. Like, I need your word that you're going to continue to fight for this. I'm going to continue to fight boots on the ground, and I'm not scared.
You know, Rock Chalk, I try to present these cases as a person of reason. I don't like to sensationalize them because I believe that these cases are sensational enough without having to say things that sensationalize them. So I appreciate you on the ground. And we'll get right back to, I have a bunch of questions for you, but let me just first do a quick Police Off the Cuff plug. Folks, this is Police Off the Cuff, real crime stories. If you like real crime, true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right location. And if you're not subscribed to us, go on our YouTube, hit that subscribe button, give us a thumbs up, ring that bell, hit the like, share us with your friends and your family, and join the Police Off the Cuff family. If you want to contribute to us financially, we have a Patreon with four different levels, and we also have a YouTube channel memberships, which you just saw Rock Chalk donate 10 to this channel. We have five different levels on a YouTube channel membership. So we appreciate everything that you guys and you new members and you new folks coming into this chat are doing for us. You know, Rock Chalk, one of the things, and we mentioned earlier about the incestuousness, and I don't mean that literally, but I mean the incestuousness of everyone knows each other in these small communities. You just mentioned it's an open carry state. For people that live in urban areas, they don't really understand that people can just carry a gun out in the open.
On their hip, yep.
On their hip, yeah. And, you know, I have something called HR 218, and that, as a retired law enforcement officer, as long as I train once a year, requalify, I can carry in any state in the United States legally. So I do that every year, but I don't know if the only thing I think with an open carry state is when people get in the littlest arguments, it goes right to the gun. And that would really concern me.
Well, it should concern you. But let me tell you this. You know, you got more criminals out there carrying guns than you got people legally carrying. So
100%.
With all the school shootings, the McDonald's that got attacked and killed all them people. If you have people that have open carry, at least you got somebody that can shoot back. I'm sorry. I get your side of it, but also get the side that your police officer side should tell you that for every one person that's carrying legally, there's probably 10 carrying illegally.
You know something, Rock Chalk, you're 100%. I'm a Second Amendment guy. I am. I'm pro. But some of these policies, though, I'm a little stricter coming from New York, where there's tons of illegal guns. You know, and I always say to people that are anti-gun, I always say, it's not the gun, it's the trigger puller.
That's right.
The gun is an inanimate object. It's the, and I don't want to get too political because we're going to lose people saying, oh, I'm anti-gun. You know, so, but it's the trigger puller. And when the criminal justice system wants to demonize the gun and not the person that pulled the trigger, that's where the rubber hits the road, and that's where we have a problem.
Yeah, I would like to bring up another scenario. You know, I'm from Chiefs country, went to the parade, you know, they won the Super Bowl. You know, two people shot at people. You know how many, if I'd have been closer, I'd have shot somebody. I'd shot one of the people that was killing. But, you know, I'm just saying it has its good and its bad. But in today's day and age, Bill, it's not like it was 30 years ago. 30 years ago, people thought, well, if I do something wrong, my dad's going to bury me in the backyard in the ground. Like, I'm not going to do it. People don't care about the consequences anymore. Being a police officer nowadays, listen, it's not for the money. You know it. It's got to eat. There's one or two police officers in my mind and somebody it's in their soul and they want to protect and serve. And then there's these others, they want control. But it's not for the money that the police officers are out there. So it's a hard job to do. I get it. But also, you got a lot of criminals running around that don't care about the consequences anymore.
You know, Rock Chalk, I love this expression. You're preaching to the choir.
I know. I know. But maybe people in the chat don't understand that. And yeah, that's why I'm saying that, because I am all about the Second Amendment, too. But 100%. I also am not, my eyes are not covered. I know what goes on in the world. I know that there, in Boulder last year, there was a shooting at the Kroger store. And like 15 dead and a cop dead. Okay. If one person would have been open and carrying, they might have been able to stop that. I'm just saying, you got people with illegal guns. Why not have people with legal guns?
I think you're right. You know, Emily Parkinson, thank you so much for gifting 5 police off the cuff memberships. You guys are great. I love you. Thank you so much. It's a police off. I won't call it the police off the cuff nation because some other channel uses that term. I call it the police off the cuff family. And thank you all you guys for supporting this channel and all you people that came in from Rock Chalk's. Am I saying it right? Rock.
We all get it. But I will tell you, I see a lot of my mods in here. I see a lot of my channel people, but a lot of these people are from the area. Okay. Yes. And that's very, very crucial, because they also know what's been going on for years. Listen, I believe this has been done before. This is not the first time, but we'll get to that eventually. But they're finally got, when I showed up, they got somebody that had a voice that wasn't going to back down. That's right. Why I do know so much, because listen, it's constant. I don't get no sleep either. You spend 8 to 10 hours a day working on this. I love you for it. Like I do. I spend probably 23 out of 24 hours a day. Because when my phone rings, I answer it. Because everybody has a story. And this whole no man's land, it's a big deal. And people's been disappearing for years. I'm just going to say that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I want to get into a little, after I want to play the rest of this video, but I want to get into a lot of people assumed, looking at this picture, that Tiffany Adams is... got a drug problem. And I don't know if that's true or not. We'll touch upon that in a second. Let me go back to the video and then we'll finish this off.
Documents also state that the latest suspect charged for the murders, Paul Grice, went to a witness's house after the arrest of the 4 other suspects. While there, documents say Grice asked how long DNA would last on clothing in the dirt in a 15 feet deep hole, if DNA would survive in churned dirt, and if the source knew how to get a guy and his family to Mexico.
They deserve to rot and burn in the depths of hell for all I care.
And the next phase of this case will be collecting and reviewing physical evidence with no firm trial dates ironed out just yet. We'll update you as we learn more.
So, you know, one of the things that I just want to add in there is that I had thought that early on in this investigation, they were going to get the weak link and offer the weak link a deal. But you know something? They don't even need to do that. And guess why? Because Grandma confessed and Paul Grice confessed. So they don't even need to cut a deal with anyone. And guess what? Twombly, Cora Twombly, right? And Cole, they told her 16-year-old daughter, they made admissions to her. There's another ear witness that they got this a solid, solid case. And then add that with the physical evidence that was thrown in with these two victims, thrown inside that freezer. This case is like, and I'm not going to say, never use the term slam dunk in a murder case because there's no such thing. When it goes before a jury, you never know what a jury's going to do. Rock Chalk, what do you think?
Well, what I think is, I question what they did as far as what they confessed to, because listen, I don't do anything against the law, but I do know the fact that if I get read my Miranda rights, I'm asking for an attorney anyway, because I'm not going to get tied up in something that I had nothing to do with. So are they so arrogant and had a second plan that they're still going to get away with this, that they would confess? Like, I mean, you know what Miranda rights are, and you have the right to remain silent, and anything you say can and will be used against you in the court of law. And if you at any point want to quit talking, you have a right to an attorney. If you can't afford one, we'll appoint one. Why didn't they use that right? Are they that arrogant?
Well, you know, Rock Chalk, I've led the investigation of hundreds of murder cases, and even experienced criminals confess. And sometimes they don't, but many times they still do, even after Miranda.
Wow.
So can we explain why? Does someone have a need to confess, like almost like you're going to confession, like a Catholic goes to confession, which I haven't been to in 50 years, by the way. But does someone need to get it off their chest so that they can sleep through the night in jail? You know, because people confess all the time.
I don't think that's the case with these. I think they're arrogant, and I think they have a plan. They don't, you know, they're sovereign citizens. They don't believe in the government, and they believe that somehow that they're going to walk free from this. I truly believe they think they're going to walk free from this.
They can believe what they want, but, you know, the reality is that they have a very, very, very strong case. You know, the old expression, they have motive, they have opportunity, and they had desire to commit this crime, right? And the motive is not necessary to convict someone of a murder, but the motive is necessary to understand why, the why. Why did they do this? And we know the why, and most people that are following this case know that the why is that it was a custody battle. And Grandma Adams was willing to kill her grandchildren's mother in order to win this custody battle. How did she think she was going to do that?
Well, not only that, how does one person, unless there's a cult? I mean, listen, I got lots of friends, and if I wanted to kill somebody, do you think my friends are going to be down for that? I don't understand.
You know,
what
did she
have to offer them?
I bring that up all the time. What, and even if you look at this thumbnail, why did this woman engender such loyalty to four other conspirators that they would throw their own lives away in order to murder two women that they had nothing to do with? Why? I can't understand that. Can you?
No. And what about their own kids? I mean, now their kids are without parents.
Yes.
They all have kids. They all have kids.
Rock Chalk, many, many victims in this case, not just the two, of course, the two women that were murdered, but families are suffering. Children are suffering. Even the families of these perpetrators now potentially will only see them behind bars, you know, and or the potential is they could get the death penalty.
I hope they get the death penalty, you know, amen to all that. But like I said, you know, Tad has a daughter, Twombly, there's a brother to the CW. You know, and you talk about the daughter that cleaned the car and overheard Cora talking about it. You realize she had another friend, so it was probably another 16-year-old girl that helped her clean the car. What about that poor girl that had nothing to do with any of this and helped clean up blood? What do you think about that?
I think it's messed up. But how about even Cora Twombly's daughter, identified as the CW in that affidavit, as her asking, well, what happened to they admitted to killing them. What happened to their body? She goes, are they buried below the ground? She says, yes, something like that.
Right.
Like, just so cavalierly, yes, they're dead, and yeah, we buried them, something like that, you know?
I do want to say to the 16-year-old CW, like, you are the hero here. You are the one that broke this case completely open, and I know you did it at big risk of losing your mother, and the world notices it. Like, I hope nothing but good things comes to CW for stepping out, because she did escalate this case to where it was able to be solved more quickly.
You know, Rock Chalk, I 100% agree with you, but we question whether or not would it have been solved without her, and I think it would have been. And one of the things that is incredible these days, and we know that they identified very early on evidence that Grandma Tiffany bought 3 burner phones. We're so used to, everyone talks about burner phones now, like they've been talking about them for years, because it came up in the Gilgo Beach case with Rex Heuermann. That's what he used to call the escorts that he murdered.
Digital records. Yes. They don't lie.
And that technology that we have today to track phones is incredible. And they tracked those phones, which were apparently they recovered on the scene of the, you know, where they buried the bodies, right to that scene. And guess what's there? A new hole that was dug that Tad Cullum, the rocket scientist, was trying to cover with hay and have cows, you know, trample over it. So it would look like that's not a freshly dug hole. The cows did that.
Yeah, this is crazy. It makes no sense as far as that goes. But you are correct, you know, with the digital age, with the pings and stuff. But do you realize that even with your phone off and stuff, that it still pings? And I only know that from the Idaho 4 case, so I don't want to get into details about that. It's another case. But technology today, it follows you everywhere, unless you just leave that phone at home. So the whole thing of buying a burner phone, technology 30 years ago was a lot different than today. So, yeah, they knew early on what pinged off of the tower close to there, where they could actually go track some of that down without having the information that she bought the phones. I believe they found out from the pings and went and found out where these phones were bought. Like, it's all digital.
Yes, and also, you know, one of the things I found out through following the Gilgo Beach case, of course, Rex Heuermann, the alleged Gilgo Beach serial killer, was that the FBI had the ability to search his computer without taking his computer. They could search it remotely. That wasn't the case when I was a cop. They didn't have that technology. They just have to find out his, you know, his digital address, and they pulled records. And one of the reasons, guys, if you're not familiar with it, the Gilgo Beach serial killer, one of the reasons they arrested him earlier than they intended was because they heard some chatter that he intended to keep killing. They were afraid he was going to keep killing escorts. So that's why they arrested him when they did. So the digital technology, and then there's something I'll mention to everyone here. It's called geofencing. And geofencing is a technology where they can pull up every single electronic device in a given geographical area in a given time. So everyone that's on a cell phone, a computer, a laptop in a given geographical area at a specific time, they can find out who it is. And that's how they solve murders all the time now.
I agree. And that's why there's not as many cold cases going cold. And I love it. I love technology. I'm a little behind on it. Again, you know, the Idaho 4 has caught me up on a lot of technology. But I see people in the chat saying, I'm old. I didn't realize this technology. Don't feel like you're old. Technology changes every day. I don't know what it'll be like 20 years from now, but it's only going to get better.
Well, you know, even the they had a detective from the Moscow Police Department in Idaho testify the other day, and it was all about call detailing cell site information. And, you know, it was very boring testimony, but that's what solves cases these days, you know, and we won't get into that. But, you know, this case, too, them leading him right to the, that field. And my thing was like, well, where's the cell sites? How many cell sites are in this, you know, this cornfield area? I mean, but they were able to track it right to that field where the bodies were buried.
Yeah, and it's very sketchy. And I do want to tell you, it was so funny because I just switched from AT&T to T-Mobile in November, and my phone wouldn't get very good service. So I literally bought a burner phone so I could do my live stream yards. So, you know, now I have a burner phone that probably pinged off of them cell phone towers too. But I will say the cell service in that area is absolutely horrible, horrible.
Yeah, but then again, that makes it even more amazing is how they track those phones then, because the cell service is horrible, but the technology.
One ping.
Yeah, the technology the FBI has or the OSBI has, they were able to track it right to that field. Let me play this another little video here.
Are coming to light in an alleged double murder in Oklahoma. Search warrants outline what may have happened leading up to the kidnapping and murder of the two Kansas women. Nick Smith is live in the newsroom, and Nick, quite a lot revealed in these documents.
Yeah, Nicole, definitely. More than we knew before News Nation obtained copies of these new search warrants filed in court less than a week ago. And now, new information about the days following the deaths of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. The warrants seek to collect DNA samples from the suspects, as well as search their cars and phones for evidence. Among the more shocking information revealed in the documents, we have learned that the bodies of the two women were found in a chest freezer buried in a cow pasture. It took investigators 2 days to excavate the site, and when they did, documents revealed that several items were found with what appeared to be blood on them, including clothes, duct tape, and a black sheath knife. Also detailed in the warrant, the suspicious behavior of the fifth suspect arrested in the case, Paul Grice. Witnesses told investigators Grice asked how long DNA would last on clothing buried in the dirt and asked the same witness, quote, how to get a guy and his family to Mexico. Nicole, there's still a lot we don't know in this case, including how the two women died. The judge in the case has ordered the full medical examiner's report to be withheld for at least 6 months. The next court appearance is a discovery hearing scheduled for June 19th, and News Nation will be there. Nicole?
Absolutely. All right, Nick, thank you.
So, again, it's sort of repetitious, but I think there's a lot of people here that aren't totally up to date on this case. So, you know, some of the other things, I watched your channel the other night, Rock Chalk, and you were talking about what you felt to be very, very lax security around the jail where these defendants are going to their court hearings. And I watched it on the video and I was like, I agree with you. I have to agree with you because, you know, these are people facing the death penalty. Couldn't someone just come by and, you know, shoot it out with the two or three guards they have out front and release all five of them? That's a real concern. And even when the vehicles pulled up, there was no contained area for the car to open up in a fenced-in area where it was just the defendant and the sheriffs that would escort the defendant into the court. So, yes, very, very lax security. You want to comment upon that?
Yeah, I mean, I was so shocked. I was watching people go in. Some got scanned. Some didn't. There's not a scanner inside. Like, our courthouse has, like, an airport scanner, and you put your briefcase through and stuff. The security you saw is what you saw, the three with the wands. Why did some people just say they were an attorney? There was a couple that didn't even get scanned. I went back and watched it again last night and saw two more people that didn't get scanned. Not only that, to the left where I was sitting, you know, if I was a good shot, I could have shot any one of them. I'm just saying, it shouldn't be open like that. I don't understand.
Rock Chalk, this is the video. I'm going to play a little bit of it so they can get an idea of what the security looks like.
Definitely want justice for Jillian and Veronica. And these people are looking at the death penalty, possibly, more than likely. Can we make that bigger?
No, that's, I have it as big as it gets. That's the, yeah, this is as large as it'll get on the screen. Unless I took it, no, I can't do that.
Take us off, take us off.
Yeah, okay. Well, let me
maybe
remove
that'll help a little bit.
Yeah, because so they get an idea of how the security is absolutely horrific. I mean,
frightening. It's frightening.
And then you also said that there's a train close by.
It's in between the jail and the courthouse. It's literally in the parking lot, right across the street from the parking lot of the courthouse.
Right. And that, if the train goes by and it's a long freight train, that could also be a security problem because now they can't go over the tracks and they're sort of blocked in there, right?
Right. And that's a very active train, very active. Like you hear it at all hours because I stay in Guymon when I go there. It's very active. I'm just telling you, it's an active train.
You know what I wanted to ask you? Every probably community in this country, small towns, big cities, have a drug problem. And I don't doubt that this little town, Guymon, has one too. And is there a huge drug trade in this area?
There is. Even out in the country, there's a lot of meth there. I heard a lot of meth. There's even rumor, and I'm going to say rumor, that Granny had a meth lab in her basement. I've seen no proof of it. But I'm telling you, she went from a very pretty lady to a very old-looking lady real quick. So something wasn't right.
You know, when I first put her picture on the screen, when I first started covering this case, and I talked like a New Yorker, I said covering, I'll enunciate a little better. When I first started covering this case, and I put her picture on the screen, that was the first thing people said, was that she looks like a meth head. And I don't know. I mean, as I said, like your boots on the ground, you're hearing things, but you're hearing also rumors. You're not hearing...
Facts. You're right. Facts. Rumors. Yes.
So we can't really slap that on her. But, you know, she's 53 years old. And when I saw her picture, I'm 67. I look better than that. You know?
Yeah. And pictures of her before, she's a very pretty lady.
Yes. I saw pictures. I saw the before pictures. And you're right. She was. And so something is going on with her life that made, you know, made her, you know, as I said on the last show, that she looks like it's 53 years in dog years, you know,
right?
53 times seven, you know, but I you're not supposed to double use a joke, but I did because it worked the last time. So, but yes, yeah, she's 53 and she looks a hell of a lot. That's not highway driving on that face, you know?
Mm-mm. Something's going on with the lady. That's for sure.
Yeah. So what is the big drug of choice in Guymon?
Seems to be meth.
Methadone. Has the fentanyl trade hit that town also?
Yes, fentanyl's hit everywhere. So,
and the drug trade, as far as the dealers go in that area, is it organized? Is it organized crime, or is it just a bunch of people that decided to become sovereign drug dealers?
I think there is some organized, but also one thing that we're not touching on is, you know, in most states, there's legal marijuana, okay? And some of them's recreational. Oklahoma is a state that has medical marijuana. So this isn't marijuana doing this. I just want to say that up front. It's not marijuana doing this. But you do have fentanyl. You got meth. And I'm hearing there's actually still a lot of heroin around there.
You know, someone in the chat just said that, here we go. Hey, it's Jay. I lost my little cousin who was in his early 20s from a heroin OD. He lived in Moore, Oklahoma. Drugs are really bad in Oklahoma. So is human trafficking. Wow. You know, drugs are bad everywhere in this country. So it's not like we're picking on Oklahoma. Every small town, every major city has a drug problem, you know, and it's usually the people that suffer the most are the people at the lowest economic strata. They're the ones that suffer the most from drug addiction. And when they do get drug addicted, sometimes they can't get rehab because they can't afford it. And there's not a program for them to go into rehab. I saw that a lot in my police career where people wanted to stop, but there was no money for them to go into rehab. And I'm talking about government money. So this exists everywhere in this country. And I want to, I want to thank Kim Alliston for gifting 5 Police Off the Cuff channel memberships. Kim Alliston, who's one of our moderators, thank you so much. Here, I just found it. Here we go. Kim Alliston, you can see the little wrench signifying she's one of our moderators. You can hit someone over the head with that wrench when you're a moderator. Just kidding. But Kim, thank you so much. So you think that Rock Chalk, that drugs have any play in this case?
You know, I do think drugs do have a play to a certain extent. You know, let's not forget the whole world's in the opiate crisis, okay? And say you hurt your hand and you have surgery and you get addicted to opiates and you no longer get pills from your doctor. I do believe a lot of people go on to these other drugs because they can't get their opiates no more. So there's an opiate crisis in the world. We know that. But right. No, I think this has to do with Granny wanted control of these grandchildren and was going to just go at every extent to do it. Did the drugs maybe cloud their mind a little bit? Well, not normal people think this way. So something clouded their mind because you can't just go and off somebody because you want control of your grandkids.
Did any of these people have a history of violence? Any of the 5 here? I mean, here's all 5 of them so we can see them on the screen together. Tad Cullum seems that he may have been a violent guy. Is there truth to that?
Yeah, I mean, he pulled a gun on Wrangler, as a matter of fact, the baby's daddy. He did a lot of things, and it seemed like he just had a gun charge, and he paid $10,000 and got off of it, and it's not even on his record. It got dropped by the same DA handle on all this. So then there's my next question. Is there a conflict of interest? What does the DA have in connection with these 5 that he let Tad Coleman off of his gun charge?
That's a good question. But you know something? We see that in big cities too. You know what I mean? We see the former Baltimore DA just got sentenced to 3 years house confinement. How did that happen? It was felony charges she was convicted of.
Yeah.
So how did that happen? You know, so it's not just these little towns. And when I use the word, as I said, incestuous, it basically is saying that everyone knows each other and people committing crimes have family within the criminal justice system. They have family sheriffs. They have family attorneys, district attorneys, judges. So is there some lack of integrity there?
I would think so. I mean, why did you let his case go before? And I don't know, around here, like if you go to court for something with one judge over something, it's not always that same judge. Actually, they'll send you to a different one if you get a different charge. It's called a 2-judge system. And I don't really know what's going on in this small little town, but your question earlier, I want to reemphasize. Do I think drugs is what caused them to do this? No, I believe Granny wanted control. She wouldn't even let her son see his own kids when he was the one that had custody. I think it was all about control with this lady. I think she wants to be queen of Oklahoma and everybody. She could control everybody. I think that was their ultimate goal. They were going to open a school, and that's where the cult comes in again. You just keep adding more people to your cult, and before you know it, you pretty much are taking over the area. That's my opinion.
L, terrible alcohol, meth, heroin, and fentanyl problem in the entire area, even into that corner of other states. You know, Rock Chalk, I just got to ask you a question because you're sort of making allegations that there's a cult, God's misfits. But other than these 5, when I know the mainstream media interviewed a guy who allegedly was the head of God's misfits, and he didn't even know these 5.
It's not the same God's misfits. I mean, you just...
it's a different chapter.
Well, no, this guy just got fed up one day and said, hey, I'm not going to these churches anymore. I'm going to have my own, and I'm just going to call myself God Misfits. When you have a cult, you have different things going on. You have sovereign citizens. With the other God's misfits, they wasn't sovereign citizens. So just because they have the same name does not mean they were the same people. Like I believe entirely that the guy that originally had the name God's Misfits has nothing to do with this. This is Sovereign Citizens, and they are out to have their own cult, live off the land. You got a butcher that no longer lets the FDA in to see his, do their inspections. There's a lot going on down there. So that would make me believe there is a cult.
So they're anti-government, but other than that, other than being anti-government, are they involved in crime? Are they involved in any ideology that should concern the government? Other than they are anti-government, but are they involved in actions that should put fear into the government? Or are they just peaceful people that share an ideology that aren't going to harm anyone else? Well, we saw that they did harm two people. But I guess my question would be then, was God's Misfits, did it have anything to do with these two murders?
Oh, I believe it does. You can't, like I said before, I got lots of friends, but there's no way I could find four other friends to go unalive, say my son-in-law or somebody like that. It just wouldn't happen. That's not normal. So there's some kind of dedication, and what makes that dedication is usually some kind of cult. They're insane beliefs, and they all start thinking the same. And do these five think that they were protecting these kids by unaliving their mother? And they didn't care about the other mother that was also being taken from their four children.
Yep. Rebecca Marie Melvin, Clint Twombly was running for sheriff in another county, but since his truck was used by his brother, makes me wonder how his election went or is going. Good point. Good point. Yeah. That's why we're talking about the incestuous nature of this area. Clint Twombly is Cole Twombly's cousin. So.
Right. And in the arrest affidavits, it states in there that Clint Twombly called the police because there was a white cattle trailer on his property and he didn't know where it came from and he didn't know who owned it. And that is in the documents.
And that was the trailer that
yes,
transported the bodies, right?
Yes. But he's the one that reported it. It just all of a sudden ended up on his property. He don't know where it came from. But then come to find out they used his truck. None of it makes sense here.
Sheila C., absolutely. They are own country and the U.S. has zero jurisdiction over them. They use own constitution as well as they expect to be treated as foreign dignitaries. I believe you're speaking about the sovereign citizens. I love when the sovereign citizens are pulled over by a cop that knows the law and he just rips them out through their window and puts unsovereign handcuffs on them. Yeah.
The other thing is Paul Grice filed a 35 page document last year. And in that document, there's just a lot of garbage, but he claims that his kids are his property and the government can't tell him what to do with them. And so they also believe the government should have nothing to do with, say, their kids, like going to school, having social security numbers. But again, look how many he's got court-appointed attorneys at our taxpayers' expense that's from the government. I'm sorry.
But you know something? Paul Grice is as dumb as a rock. So it's like, 32 pages. I don't think he's read 32 pages in his lifetime, Sherilyn Schaffner, thank you at Rock Chalk for being so dedicated to this case. You be careful. Absolutely. Everyone wishes Rock Chalk the best. And I wish you would have someone with you when you drive around in this area, because this is a two-person or three-person job, not a one-person job,
Well, I do have two dogs. I have two great big trained German Shepherds that is Smith and Wesson, and they usually go everywhere with me. So, it's pretty hard. They wasn't with me that day, and they should have been, because I'll tell you what, they got an own release on the SUV canine unit too. They can release themselves from the vehicle. And the minute that lady would have grabbed my arm, I don't usually travel alone. So we're good with that.
Well, that's good, because there is always strength in numbers. As you see on the screen, new evidence released in the Kansas mom's case. And the evidence has come out very slowly in this case. And in most of the cases we cover, you always hear the expression, the police are keeping everything close to the vest. And one of the reasons they do that, of course, is to protect their investigation. And I always say, and I used to say it when I was on the popo, the, the media can be your best friend or your worst enemy. And usually we looked at them as our worst enemy because they would reveal things that we didn't want revealed earlier than we wanted them revealed. So you notice across this nation, police departments, and especially the FBI, their lips are sealed for a long time till they have to release information. Rock Chalk, what do you think?
Well, you know, that is one thing that did bother me. I personally never saw a news release from the police department from the get-go. And that really did kind of bother me. I believe in keeping things at the best. I do believe in that. But also, I also believe in that sometimes you got to let a little bit of stuff out of what's going on. But the biggest thing, my biggest problem right now with this whole case is I think the DA needs to step up and work for these families too. I don't think they should be finding out things from me and you that we're getting off, you know, the internet and stuff. I think the DA needs to be letting these families, at least giving them a little respect. I'm sorry I'm going there with you. But they are victims, the parents and the husband. I think they should know everything before we know anything. And I'm a firm believer of that.
No, I agree with you. And the families should absolutely not be finding out things from the press, from the media. They need to be plugged in.
Yeah. I want to tell you this too. I actually did it when the one was released from the Oklahomian. I did a FOIA and I got all the paperwork. And before I wouldn't even cover it on my live. I got the mom, the dad, the aunt, everybody's email. And I sent the paperwork myself off the FOIA request and made sure.
You know, Rock Chalk, I love the way you said it was a FOIA. We would say it's a FOIL with an L. You said Freedom of Information Act. We say Freedom of Information Law, but that's funny. I knew immediately what you were talking about.
Yeah. But I went to that extent just for the family so they would have it. So they wouldn't see me or you or somebody else. Like I feel like the families have been through enough and they should be put up front foremost.
100%. Let me play this so also some new arrivals get the idea what we're talking about.
This comes as the affidavits containing details of the case of the two Kansas women missing in Oklahoma have been unsealed. Just hours ago, investigators gave an update on the case of Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly, who they now say were murdered. Our own Max Dutton has been in the area today and got the affidavits from the courthouse in Texas County, Oklahoma, and reports back to us now on what he's learned. Max?
Yeah, and Lane, this shows you just how desolate this area is. We're here about 5 miles away from where that accident first took place. This is known as the Four Corners area. Now, Jillian Kelly, Veronica Butler were supposed to meet here at 10 a.m., but they did not make it there. Their vehicle was found about 5 miles north of where we're at right now. The signal is so bad out here that we actually had to move because we had SOS phone signal. Now, this affidavit has a lot to break down here, so stick with me on what we're taking away here. Now, Butler was in a custody battle with Tiffany Adams. Tiffany Adams is the grandmother of Butler's ex-husband, Wrangler Rickman. So they're in a custody battle, and Butler had a normal supervisor she's preferred. Her name is Cheryl Brune. She was unavailable, so she contacted Kelly to do the supervising. That's what that relationship was developed. Brune later then said she was available to supervise, but Adams told her to take a couple weeks off. An interesting note there. Now, Butler told Adams, as we said, 10 a.m. they were going to meet right here. Police did not find the car here. They actually were contacted by family members after they found the car those 5 miles away, as we mentioned. They found evidence of severe injury, blood on the roadway, Butler's glasses in the roadway, a broken hammer, and a pistol magazine all found. That was found in Kelly's purse, but not the pistol itself. So clear evidence of a crime right off the bat. Now, OSBI interviewed the daughter of Cora Twombly. She's referred to as CW in this affidavit. Now, CW is 16 years old, said she believed Adams, Colin, Cole, and Paul Grice were involved in the deaths and that Adams had provided burner phones. CW said the group was involved in an anti-government group here in the area called God's Misfits. They actually had regular meetings at the Twombly's. Now, Cora and Cole came back from the day of the murder at 12 o'clock. This is 2 hours after they were supposed to meet at this location. Cora and Cole Twombly told CW that their daughter to clean the truck and that she did not have to worry about Veronica Butler ever again. Now, before that, Cora and Cole actually blocked the road to divert Butler and Kelly to where Adams, Colum, and Grice were. That's when the murder happened. So they were supposed to be at this location where we're live currently. They were then diverted to Adams. That's when the murder takes place. CW also confirmed with the OSBI that an attempt to kill Butler happened in February of 2024 in Hugoton, but Butler did not leave a house. A previous attempt to kill Butler happened back in February of 2024, just months ago. Now, Adams, also through the affidavit, we learned she bought three prepaid cell phones from the Walmart on February 13th in Guymon, Oklahoma. All three of those phones were pinged in the area where the car was located, then turned off and turned back near a dam 8.5 miles away. They found that dam just 8.5 miles away, as we mentioned, from the location of the cars. The dam had been dug into. They had hay. And that's the last spot those phones were pinged. All of this evidence that we just brought you up from the affidavit is why these four arrests were made. These four people were charged with murder, among other charges. Now, we were at a press conference earlier this morning. Here's what other law enforcement officials had to say.
From the get-go, once we arrived on scene, that and we gained a little bit of information, that we felt this wasn't a random deal. All right. We felt that with some of the information coming in, that it was more targeted, and we started to look in those areas that we were pointed to.
And now we asked OSBI today as well if they could confirm that those two bodies were Veronica Butler and Jillian Kelly. They said they still cannot confirm that, but they did confirm both of those women are now dead. They have confirmed that. We're still waiting to hear when those identifications will happen. Wayne.
That was a damn good report. He gave a really good synopsis of that, even though this is dated because we know a lot of the information, but people that are just tuning in, that is a synopsis, except they didn't list in this synopsis because it was a while ago. Paul Grice was the fifth suspect who was arrested because initially they didn't have enough evidence to charge him, and then they had enough evidence, and there's five people. We could call them the Yoki Five, who are being charged with murder in the first degree, kidnapping in the first degree, and I'm sure numerous other charges, and they are eligible for the death penalty. Rock Chalk.
Yeah, you know, that news reporter is actually from Wichita, and he's a friend of mine.
He was good. He's good. Yeah, Young news reporter, but quite good at his job, you know, because I always like it when they get right to the point. You know, and some news stations don't. They beat around the bush, and you know. But that was well done, I think.
Yeah, I thought it was great. There wasn't. That was, of course, after the fact. But I don't know. I think OSBI was on the scene immediately. I do believe that there was an OSBI agent that had the same last name as that sheriff officer. So I think they were immediately on the scene. I think everybody kind of hooned in on that car. I don't think anybody had to call OSBI in. I'm finding running down a track right now that seems like OSBI, like I said, is maybe the brother to that sheriff. So they were there immediately.
Well, you know, I'm sorry to interrupt you. One of the things that law enforcement always does when they look, even with the victims, they could do a records check, and they would find out through a records or a complaint report check that Veronica Butler was involved in a custody dispute with Tiffany Adams. Boom.
Yeah.
Right there is motive, opportunity, desire, whatever you want to call it. Right there, they are looking at a potential suspect. It was that simple. And sometimes in an investigation, as you know, you run one computer check and you're like, oh, this is it. I just found out what the reason is.
Right. And the rabbit hole goes real deep. And I'm going to tell you now, many people in that area knew that there was a custody battle. I mean, the granny made it very well known. And she would even go to Elkhart, Kansas, and talk about it. Everywhere she went, she talked about this custody battle. So, and in Guymon. So in that area, even the police knew that there was a custody battle. So that's not something that was hidden.
Was there anyone in this area whispering in your ear about something that you found out in that way, but you couldn't perhaps prove it, and it was at the rumor stage and something that you're still looking at?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, and there's something that I will release. So my second day in, there was a farmer. I'm not going to say the farmers. In that area where I was at looking for the women, it seemed like nobody wanted to talk to me. But they would off a camera. Like if I was off camera, like if they saw I was at Yarborough School, My camera would be facing somewhere in the car and I'd get out and tons of people would show up and talk to me. Yes, they talked to me. But there was, I had rumor from somebody, I'm not going to say exactly who it was, the second day that you had to go to Blacktop Road. Well, that's what, where Dad's considered to live. I was told that there was a skid loader used, a skidster. I didn't even know what that was. And I was also told about a hammer found at the scene. That was without any police. That was just from a local. And that gentleman that told me was a young kid. So, and he had heard his dad talk about it. So do I believe people talked about this and knew about it? There was a lot released without law enforcement.
And that's, you know, Rock Chalk, that is amazing, is that some of the rumors that you find out early turn out to be absolutely true. And which tells you there's leaks. There's big time leaks. And, you know, we used to have that in New York too. Sometimes a detective trying to elevate his own worth would give a call to a local reporter, which is really not cool to do, you know, and would let them know. And, you know, even to the point where the police department started actually doing search warrants on detectives' phones to find out who tipped off a reporter. And if that happened, you would be in some shit, you know.
I will tell you, I made it a point to not go on anybody's property without asking. I made it a point that if somebody told me something, I wasn't going to repeat it. There's a couple of my original videos you can't get into. They're privatized because it was a witness that saw the car. And he's telling me everything on my live, and I don't want to jeopardize the investigation, for one. Not only that, there's other misfits out there. I didn't want to endanger this 24-year-old kid. So if you go back to my original videos, most people can't see them, and that's why. Because protecting, for one, the case, and two, the witnesses, was a lot to me. And I never told one person what somebody else told me, because then that becomes part of their story. I listened, I took notes, but I never repeated one person's story to another.
No, because when you question someone, you're never supposed to give them information. You know, when someone starts questioning you, that's when you say, I'll ask the questions.
I wasn't even the one asking the questions. Yeah. They were tracking me down. That's one thing I will say that was good about it, about the running of the mouth and telling things. People would say, hey, Rock Chalk's here. People would track me down at Subway and there'd be 20 people there to talk to me, because listen, I'm telling you, no man's land. There's a lot going on there. Hopefully they figure it out. But there's a lot of people that was too scared to talk, but did talk to me. And it wasn't because I was asking them questions. I'll be honest.
Rock Chalk, when you said Subway, I immediately knew it was the sandwich shop.
Yes,
there's no Subways in Oklahoma.
No, it was the sandwich shop. Somebody was loaning me a laptop. And I'd said on my live that I was going to pick it up. And I was meeting the lady and all of these people showed up. It was great. The community has come together, and the whole fact that people don't talk, that is not true. They are talking. They're just, they don't trust their LE. I don't know how to say it in a nice way. So I'm just going to say how I feel, my opinion. My opinion is they don't trust their LE. So they do tell me stuff.
Well, that's great. Monica Lynn, thank you so much. Gifted 10 police off the cuff memberships. Of course, she's Irish. We're like Paisan, you know. Wow. Thank you so much, Monica.
Good job. You know,
Rock Chalk, we've been on an hour and 22 minutes. I don't want to keep you here all night long on this holiday weekend, but I really want to thank you so much for coming on today. I had tried to reach out to you, and I know you're busy doing your own show. And I really appreciate this. And if, you know, you're always welcome to come back on my show anytime you want. I want you to be careful out there. This is no joke. This sounds like a community where people, you know, can be angry protecting their community. And as I said, many of these people are related to each other, and you don't even know that they're related, you know. BJ, I didn't think they found a gun at the burial location. I thought they found Jillian's gun in Twombly's car along with another pistol, a Jag and a Taurus. Do you know anything about that, Rock Chalk?
It was found in the burial.
Okay.
The gun was found in the burial. And listen, I know you're police. it wouldn't be unusual for Jillian to carry a backup clip.
Right.
So just because they found a clip, but it does say in the arrest affidavits that it was in the burial.
But was that gun recovered, Jillian's gun?
We don't know that it's Jillian's. There was a gun recovered that was in that hole.
Right. I would think the chances are it is her gun. And that's
I want to say this to you, Bill, because I know you're in a hurry to get off of here. I'll be more than willing to come back every time. I do go live every night about 7:45 for the locals so they can talk. I might be the only person they get to talk to that day. That's why I do go live every day. It's exhausting, but I do it for them. And sometimes it's always just a great thing, but you're always welcome to even come sit in. But please do me one favor.
Sure.
Look into that that railroad tracks and how they are, because you only showed a little of that video, and I get it, but they're not wanding people correctly. There is a railroad tracks. Like, I really think that needs to be covered. Like, you're a policeman. Wouldn't that be your concern of how they're getting them in and out?
No, but one of the things is the facility itself. It's not designed for security. And, you know, that's why facilities are supposed to have security built into them. And that one clearly does not. Because you don't pull up and just let them get out like they're going to a picnic, you know?
Right. And they have nothing to lose, Bill.
Yeah, so I agree with you. I agree. The security, the facility itself is horrible.
And you're innocent. I want to bring this up. People say Tad's still doing business from the jail. Well, in the United States, you're innocent until proven guilty. So he still has phone privileges, but they are taped, you know, but he still has phone privileges.
You're in a jail and you lose a lot of your rights when you're in a jail. You know, it's not like you can order chicken palm or shrimp palm every day. You're in a jail. So
he's still allowed phone privileges.
Oh, yes, but he shouldn't be running his business from the jail. I mean,
I agree.
That's indicative of having too many phone calls. Yeah, you get to call your family maybe once a day, but, you know, you don't get to run a business out of the jail. If that's the case, then I would look into that if I was law enforcement. Just absolutely horrific. Rock Chalk, one of the things, I didn't get a clear answer, is this God's Misfits group, you know, is it a powerful group in this whole area, or is it just a small little group?
I think it is a powerful group. And if you look at Boise City, which is right there, they've been trying to bring sovereign citizens there, and they've ran them off since the 60s. Like, this is nothing new about having sovereign citizens there. Right. I do think it's a very powerful group. I do.
Well, I appreciate that. Heather, member for 2 months. Hi, Pumpkins. Hello, Heather. Listen, all you guys that are new to the came by tonight, thank you so much. And I know a lot of you guys are from Rock Chalk's channel. I appreciate you coming by. I hope you enjoyed the show, because we work hard at trying to bring you this accurate information. And from a police perspective, I always say, because you get a different perspective from an attorney, you get a different perspective from someone who's never been in law enforcement. This is my perspective, and we say it right at the beginning of the show. If you like true crime from a police perspective, then you're in the right location. Rock Chalk, your final thoughts.
You know, I do want to say something else. Gosh dang it. So you know Heath, the husband of Jillian, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay, he took a job in Nebraska. Well, I want to bring this up because everybody's here today. So today he had asked for people to show up at 2 to help him load the truck. The way I understand it, it wasn't packed. The locals, people came from everywhere to help him load a semi, and they got it packed and loaded like within 2 hours. So I do want to say, sometimes we leave Heath out a little bit. That man is a minister. He's strong. He's got 4 children. And thank you for the community that stands up and helps these families. It's amazing. I do want to leave with that for sure. That's a positive note.
Keep caring
and being the best you is what I would say.
I think we have to shout out to the victims and the victims' families. May God bless them, you know, and our prayers are with them. That's all I can really say. And again, Rock Chalk, I appreciate you coming on the show tonight on this holiday weekend. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Bill.
I'm Bill Cannon from Police Off the Cuff Real Crime Stories. Have a great night, everyone, and God bless.
Getting laughter, getting you too. Made up and they say plants like music. Yeah, no, like really, they respond to the vibrations of it, which means that this playlist you're listening to, the plants are too. You know what else plants like? Organic soil from Miracle-Gro. It's made with all the best stuff like wood fiber and compost. Plus, it's OMRI certified organic, which officially means it's made with superior ingredients. And when you give your plants the stuff that makes them happy, they won't judge you on your iffy playlist.
Hear that, plants?
So go ahead and give them Miracle-Gro.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Head to White Castle for 12 crispy, all-white meat chicken rings for just $3.99. For a limited time, choose from Classic, Hidden Valley Ranch, or our new Smoky Barbecue flavor, and take home 12 chicken rings for just $3.99. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then, learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.